For 30 years, your voice, your morning. John McKenzie's morning, only on 4CA 846.
I'm just glancing over some of the claims now about the census collapse on Tuesday night. Look, there's so many different claims there now, but maybe it just couldn't cope. Maybe it was never going to cope. Supposedly it was going to be able to handle, I think, 240-odd per second or whatever. That translated to just under a million per hour. But the point made in the various newspapers today, maybe they got 2 million. Wanting to do their census forms on the net in that first hour, which is maybe why it collapsed. Maybe it wasn't hacked by China after all. In studio, I've got, well, actually, I'll give you the full title now because he's been elevated. He has a considerably higher status. He's a gentleman that I've spoken to on the program before. He's been in studio before. He's from Rockhampton. He's basically one of us, a Queenslander or even North Queenslander. He's now titled Senator the Honourable Matthew Canavan, Minister for Resources and Northern Australia. Welcome.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me in here.
It's a hell of a mouthful.
Well, as I said to you earlier, it was much more fun being dishonourable. Now that I'm honourable, you've got to look after yourself. I've got to watch what I say. But look, it was a great privilege to be appointed to Cabinet. I'm very fortunate. I'm pretty young. Have only been in Parliament a couple of years, but there has been a bit of a gap in Queensland representation, and I was fortunate enough to be called, and now I've got to honour that privilege by doing a good job.
Now, I want to delve into the human Matt Canavan. Did you go back to your hotel room and cheer, or did you shut yourself a glass of champagne? How did you celebrate the elevation?
Look, I really honestly have not had time to do that. It gets pretty busy when you get these kind of things.
Well, how did you express the happiness?
I don't know. I had my wife down at the time, yeah. So that was nice. I don't get to see her that often. So,
have you got kids?
But we didn't even go out for dinner or anything like that. Yeah, I had the kids down as well.
So did they understand?
They had the kids. Oh, look, some of them. I got an 11-year-old, so he kind of understands. But it was very nice. You get to go to Government House and get appointed, and we found some. No, we didn't find any Pokemon at Government House.
That's what I wanted to hear. Well,
one of my sons said that that Peter Cosgrove, the Governor General, must have caught them all already. So I don't think that was the case. But we did find a lot in Parliament House. There are Pokemon all over Parliament House. They're everywhere.
Look, I've got to ask you the question I did yesterday of Christopher Pyne. It was fresher then. What the hell happened on Tuesday night with the census?
Look, it would appear to me, I don't have all the information, John, that's the ABS, and now it's being inquired into by the Australian Signals Directorate, but it would appear to me that the ABS has been very cautious here, which is the right approach. They assure us that no one's data was accessed or hacked. There obviously were some attempts to disrupt the process, and because they were concerned about those, they've shut it down. So, look, I know it's frustrating for people, and it's not acceptable. It needs to... If we're going to do it this way again, it's got to be fixed.
But, wasn't hacked by China?
Well, no one knows the answer to that at this stage, but except to say that it wasn't hacked in the sense that data wasn't accessed. Okay. What did happen, someone explained to me the way it works is effectively someone's trying to stuff your mailbox full of letters so you can't find the letters that are genuine in there. It didn't actually take away the letters that were actually in the postbox itself.
Now, I want to move on to other matters. Northern Australia Infrastructure Fund. Can you possibly make this whole matter interesting for my audience?
Well, there's a couple of interesting points here. So why I'm here today, John, is to launch the $5 billion Northern Australia Infrastructure Facility. And why that's important for Cairns? For two reasons. One, it's a bank. It's a $5 billion bank, effectively. So that means that there is a bank up here willing to lend to people who will invest in ports, in railways, etc. One of the projects that could potentially receive funding that is under consideration is the Cairns Airport. Incredibly important resource. For your region, but people struggle to get funds at the moment because for infrastructure, because the global financial crisis has dried a lot of that up. So that's why the government's coming in to try and help development and get things going. The other important reason is it's bringing a whole new industry to Cairns. We're going to employ, it is only 10 people, but those people will be high-quality infrastructure finance specialists. We've got a great list of candidates as CEOs. Mm. They're all not from Cairns, but they're going to be living here. They're going to move their family up here. One of those candidates all of them have agreed to do that, and one of them that we pick will move their family up here, bring a whole new skill set to Cairns. Okay. I had at the launch there, we had PwC there. They were very excited about it. They've already got an office in Townsville. They might consider coming up here as well, given we've got this government bank, so that's exciting for Cairns.
So you're saying people who would want to, for example, move into major infrastructure projects, projects will go along to the banks and other financial institutions because they have very low interest rates these days. But you're saying those financial institutions are very nervous after the GFC, are they?
That's right. They're particularly nervous to invest in what's called greenfields projects. That's new investment, new infrastructure that's sort of untested and unknown. And that's particularly the case in the north, right? We've got to build new infrastructure, so it's quite risky. And one of the reasons rates are low is everybody's piling into government bonds and more or less risky assets. Mm. So that's where there's a role for government. Mm. We know that before the global financial crisis, people who wanted to fund infrastructure could kind of get finance for up to 10 or 11 years, you know, so they could get a loan for 10 or 11 years on average. To help them see through the start of infrastructure projects. Now it's only about 6 years. And that's a problem because if you're going to build a rail line or an airport, you're going to be wanting to make money over decades, not 5 or 6 years. So that's why the government stepped in to be able to try and provide that security and stability to people who want to build stuff in our nation.
Now, you mentioned the airport, and I think people just take the airport for granted these days. I know the figures are staggering and very, very good for our city. But people go out there and they just take it for granted. They know, sadly, they can't see the aircraft out on the runway with the configuration of our domestic terminal. They know that the sound system doesn't work very well, but they're promised all the time that it will when the new work takes place. But specifically, why do they need a big injection of loan funds? What would they do with the money?
Well, my understanding is that they particularly want to expand their freight capacity. So one of the issues they've got is sometimes they get seasonal traffic where a lot of people come in and then they come to Cairns and then go into other places, but they're not leaving from Cairns. So the planes going out from Cairns are often less full than the ones coming in. So that provides opportunities to put more freight under carriage. To do that, they need some investments, particularly in refrigeration and integrated freight handling systems. So that could be something that potentially receives support. There is also capacity issues at the airport as well in their current numbers, and that's something they're looking at.
That wouldn't be called a greenfields development.
Oh, right? Yeah, not completely, no, because they've got an existing asset to work from. But we are very confident that what our funds will achieve is to provide confidence for the broader sector that we can partner with us. So we're going to loan up to 50%. They have to get other 50% from other sources.
Give us some other examples.
So the other big one in our region, a bit south of yours, is the Townsville to Mount Isa rail line, which needs significant upgrades. Obviously, extremely important link for Townsville. That's got potential. The various water projects right across Queensland, including the Nalinga Dam here that's being looked into at the moment, they all potentially will be eligible. And there's a range of renewable energy projects in the north. Electricity, obviously, and energy remains a significant issue for us. There's solar farms and some wind farms that are put in as well. So there is no shortage of projects. We've got actually 85 projects, up to $60 billion worth of investment. Mm. We can't fund all of those, but it's a good pipeline for us to look at.
Now, Senator Matthew, I have to once again bring your focus back to our ongoing nightmare, that's insurance. I'm pleased that you're involved in this. You're from Rockhampton. You understand what we're enduring up here. Of course, we're paying around five times what they'd be paying in Brisbane. Now, there have been some almost minute improvements in our situation from the company called AAMI. No, I say minute in that they represent only one of the various companies that are involved in this. They're the only one that I know have made, well, any effort at all to reduce the premiums. So really, it is significant, but it's not delivering what we need to happen with our insurance premiums. I'm told that Kelly O'Dwyer is the relevant minister and she's going to deliver the goods from the task force report. Well, we keep hearing this and hearing this and hearing this. Nothing happens. Can you intervene and deliver us from our misery?
Well, I can't promise results, John. I can promise that I do have an understanding of the situation. I speak with people like Margaret Shaw and been communicating with her only in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
So you're right, there was a task force report that the Minister O'Dwyer will be responding to at some point. That would have happened but for the election, so that's intervened. It will be coming before Cabinet again, which, you know, you're right, I'm a member of now, so you can hold me accountable to what we decide, and I can't guarantee what we'll decide. But I do see the issues that are there. I also think the long-term solution is to encourage more competition, so it's a good thing about what AAMI are doing. But some of the responses that we have flagged could potentially help underpin more competitors coming to the marketplace. So that's something I'm really interested to explore.
Mm. Now, the NAIF opening, is it done already or are you heading off to that now?
No, I've just been from there. The office is open for business.
Okay.
It's I can't remember, it's on a corner there, it's on level 7 there. It's got a great office. They've got a few people in there at the moment. They'll be ramping up in the next few months. We had a great attendance at the opening this morning. There's a lot of positivity about the North and Northern development. So they're ready to get cracking. They had their first board meeting yesterday.
Now, Matt, don't be a stranger.
Well, I'm always here, John.
I'd love you to come into the studio.
I'm more than happy to. And I was just reflecting this morning on how lucky I was to be the Minister for Northern Australia during the election campaign. I had one visit south of the Tweed for the whole campaign. I was very happy with that. It was in winter, so it was nice being up here. And how much I've missed it, because I've been out in Canberra a bit more often the last couple of weeks, and it is terrible.
We need you to fight for us and fight very hard, and I'm pleased that you're in the studio today, but we'd love to see lots more of you. Thank you for coming in, and congratulations once again.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me, mate.
He's our newly appointed Minister for Resources and Minister for Northern Australia, Senator, the Honourable Matthew Canavan.